The sun is shining and it is starting to get warmer outside. This often comes with the need of drinking extra fluids to stay hydrated. Hydration is important for optimal body function, and Needed's hydration support has electrolytes and trace minerals with a hint of flavor from real fruit to support hydration, occasional nausea, and even breast milk supply without sugar or artificial sweeteners and colors. Grab your hydration support today from thisisneeded.com and get 20% off your first order. You can use code VBAC at checkout. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the VBAC Link. This is Megan Heaton, and I have our friend Zoe returning to the show. Hello, Zoe.
Hi.
It's so fun to have you again. You guys, she shared her VBAC story back in, was it 2021?
2022. It aired October 2022.
October 12th, 2022. Wow, 2022. It was only a few, well, it's 2025 when this is airing, but yeah, that's, oh my gosh, it's so crazy. So you guys, she's going to tell you a little bit about her story here in a second, but I want to encourage you to maybe listen to the first birth story, because this will be part two of Zoe's VBAC, and it's with twins this time. So this is our second twin story this week, and I love it. I love talking about twins. It's fun because a lot of people don't know that having twins vaginally is an option. So we're gonna talk about that too. In place of a review, let's talk about twins and what it looks like and how to navigate it and what hurdles you may have run through, Zoe.
So when I found out I was having twins, I knew nothing. It felt a lot like finding out you were pregnant for the first time, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And so with twins, I had to learn a lot. I learned that a lot of the times they do jump straight to C-section. 75% of twins are C-section, actually, in the United States. And that was super intimidating to me. Yeah. It was very intimidating because I did not want a C-section. So making sure I had the right provider that was going to support me completely in that was so important, because I've already done a C-section. I didn't like it. I didn't want it. And I realized I had to let go of a lot of control for this one, because there was just so much that I didn't understand. Like twins, they don't have statistics on them. So every measurement, everything they do is based off of a singleton pregnancy. And then with twins, there's always the chance that one comes vaginally and then the second one has to be C-section. In the United States, the rates can be up to 10%, because
that will happen.
That'll happen because we don't know how to deliver breech. We don't know how to deliver transverse. And after the first one is born, twin B can flip any which way.
Yeah.
And so if it's not kind of the perfect presentation, a lot of providers will go straight to a C-section, which is why the C-section rate is so high for twins, because so many women are afraid that that's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Versus like in Ireland, it's 3%, and in France, it's only 0.5, because they know how to navigate a baby that's in any which direction.
Yeah, that just says a lot to the U.S. Sorry, U.S. Love you. Go, go United States. But come on, guys, let's pick it up, because really, we are losing the art of birth, and I mean, of breech birth, you know, and I think a lot of people, if they're not confident in delivering or catching a breech baby, they will steer a mom into the direction of a cesarean. And I can't tell you how many, you know, you said 75%. I like, out of all the people I've talked to that, you know, other than clients, just like random friends and stuff like that, none of them knew that vaginal birth was an option. So it really is so high, and to me it's sad that we are not trusting our bodies and our baby's ability, because breech is just another variation of normal. There are different things that we need to do when we're catching a breech baby and things we need to pay attention to. So I encourage everyone to research that, but yeah, it's still very safe to have a baby breech. We're just scared to do it.
It is, and I'll talk about it later, but one of my babies was presenting breech, and for a while, like up until the cutoff, basically. And I asked for statistics, like I asked for the actual papers that show me that breech is more of a danger versus having another C-section. And none of my providers could find it. No one at the ultrasound, no one at the doctor's clinic. So they would tell me about it, but when I'd be like, "Hey,
Show
I
me.
appreciate you telling me. Can you pull up the paper? Can you print it off for me that shows me the actual studies that have been done?" No one could find them.
A little eye-opening, right? Just a little. We have a blog that talks about giving birth via twin with twins via VBAC, and we talk about it, and it says women with twin gestations with who attempt VBAC have similar outcomes than women with singleton gestations. Therefore, TOLAC can and should be considered in women who have had a previous cesarean delivery with low transverse incision, who have no contraindications for twin vaginal birth and delivery. There's a small retrospective study that was conducted in the International Journal of Gynecology and Obstetrics, published in 2022, so the year that you had your VBAC, looking at TOLAC success rates of twin mothers with no prior vaginal births. And the study indicated that 31% of those who attempted a TOLAC with twins and no previous vaginal births actually had a VBAC. And I know you had had a previous vaginal birth, but still, like 31%, you guys, that's pretty decent, you know, to think about, like, how many people are not being offered the option or not taking it because of fear that has been given, right? So additionally, in 2021, there was a study that did show that risk of uterine rupture with twins is a little higher in VBAC group compared to planned cesarean, from 0.87% to 0.9% respectively. So there's that to consider as well. But even there, that's very low. And I still do not think that providers shouldn't offer the option to people,
No,
because
your body,
75% is way too high.
it is, and your body knows what it's doing. I ended up having an epidural and in being induced, and I had a picture perfect birth. I mean, like I said, I'll talk about it, but it was like everything went so well. And I know so many, I don't think I know any other twin moms that vaginally delivered because they were so worried about that extra C-section rate for the second one.
Well, I encourage everybody to go check out our blog. It will be in the show notes, and the blog does have studies. And then we are going to take a quick break for the intro and then let Zoe share her twin VBAC story. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, Zoe, let's do a little rundown of your previous births.
All right. So I had my first child in May of 2020. He ended up being a C-section. He got stuck behind my pelvis. I also didn't know a lot, so I was on my back the whole time I was in labor. I was in labor for over 24 hours and my contractions stopped on their own. I was 10 days past my estimation date and I didn't know that I could do anything to move him. And so I just went to a C-section. It was also COVID, so there were so many fear factors going on. I had my VBAC in June of 2022, and it was a spontaneous delivery. She was 5 days past her estimation date also, and I was in labor for, let's see, I want to say about 30 hours with her, and I also got an epidural, but everything went great.
And you
And
had an unsupportive provider for that one, right? You had to navigate that.
yes. The doctor that delivered her was not my regular provider, and he one of the first things he said to me was that he didn't think that my bony pelvis was capable of delivering a baby. And he actually missed her birth because he told me that it was going to take a long time and he left the room. So
Oh
she was born 12 minutes later.
my goodness.
So a year after my daughter was born, I found out we were pregnant with twins. So also for anyone that's worried about the time frame in between your C-section, I had four babies in less than 4 years. And the first one was the C-section and the rest were vaginal and went really great. So that's the background for my first delivery and then my second. And so with the twins, we found out that we were pregnant when we were about 3 weeks along. I was driving in the car with my husband. We were doing this cross-country trip for a couple weeks, and I just started hysterically crying. And he looks at me, he's like, "I'm pretty sure you're pregnant." And I was like, "I don't know about that." And I took a test a week later, and I was for sure pregnant.
He called it before you did. That's
Definitely did.
amazing.
He was like, "Oh my God, you're for sure pregnant."
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It was so funny. And we were really excited. We had gone back and forth about having a third, and we really wanted four, but I hate being pregnant. So we were like, "This is it. We're gonna have a third. This is gonna be done." And we told my son, who was 3 at the time, actually, he had just turned 3, and he says, "Mama, you're having two babies." And I was like, "No, bud. When you're pregnant, it's just one." And it took me weeks. It took me weeks to convince him that we were having one baby.
Oh
And when I finally convinced him, he's like, "Okay, mama, but you're having a boy and a girl." And I was like, "Bud, when it's one baby, it's just one." And he goes, "Okay, but it's a boy and a girl."
my
And,
gosh.
so I'm like, "Sure, bud,
Whatever.
let's say that." And at 13 weeks, I went in for my first ultrasound. And my son was with me, my daughter, my husband, and she's doing the ultrasound, and she looks at me, the ultrasound tech looks at me and goes, "Is this your first ultrasound?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Okay, well, there's two." And I just started laughing. I thought she was kidding. And she goes, "No, really, there's two." And I started crying. It was just from shock. I was super excited, but you find out you're having two, and it's a shock to the
That's a lot.
system. It's a lot. And my son sat there with this big old smile, and he came up and held my hand and started kissing my hand, and he was just so excited.
Oh my
And
gosh.
then a week later, we found out it was, of course, a boy and a girl.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was really exciting. So when I found out we were having twins, after I processed that it was two, it started to really hit me that there was a high chance of me having a C-section again. I did not want a C-section. No part of me wanted it. I went home and I talked to my husband. I was like, "I'm really worried. I'm really afraid. I don't want a C-section." I felt so horrible after my first C-section. And, I had even more kids to take care of now. And I was like, I don't know how I could go home and nurse two babies and play with a less than 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. And, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I talked to my midwife, Melanie Jensen, absolutely amazing. And she's like, "There's no reason that you have to have a C-section. With twins, it's really take it day by day, take it moment by moment so that we can really figure out what it is that your body's going to need and the baby's need." And she was just the most amazing, calming presence, amazing to talk to. So with twins, I ended up finding out it's die-die twins. There's a few different types. And so there's the die-die twins is best case scenario. That means they have their own placentas and they have their own amniotic sacs. So two different eggs got dropped. And so it is best case scenario because they have separate everything. There's no worry that one is going to leach off of the other, take extra nutrients from the other, anything like that. They also
And
can't tangle in each other's cords.
I was gonna say cord, and then even when they could still turn, right? But I feel like it's a little harder for them to turn. Maybe not.
The further along it gets, it's definitely you can feel which one is at top and which one's at bottom, or like which one's to which side because they don't have as much room to expand, basically, right? And so we found out that we were having die-die twins, and I immediately went into research mode. It felt like my first pregnancy where I didn't know anything. I took a lot of what my provider was telling me because I just couldn't find information. With twins, it's really hard because any information that's out there is specifically related to singleton pregnancies. They don't have statistics on twins. They don't have statistics on their weight, on their size, about really anything except for when they think that they should be born. So at 20 weeks, I went in for the anatomy scan. Everything looked good. And you have to have a lot more ultrasounds with twins too, because they want to make sure that the twins are growing properly. And I say you have to, but it's kind of like with your first one, when you don't know and you take their word because you've never done it before and you're afraid you're going to do something wrong. So with my singletons, I had one ultrasound each. And with my twins, I probably had about eight. And it's a lot. It's very scary because it's too much information. It's too many things to be afraid of all the time. So at the anatomy scan, my daughter was, I want to say, in the 12th percentile, and my son was in the 20th, which is really good for twins. You wouldn't know that because of the lack of statistics, but with as much room as they were taking up and the size that they were, like they were really healthy. But I felt very scared at those sizes. And they were like, well, your daughter's just barely above the 10%, which is the area of concern. So they had me keep going back to do more ultrasounds. I had to keep going and doing NSTs, and at one of the ultrasounds, they couldn't see my daughter breathing. And at the time, I didn't know that babies, when they're in the womb, only breathe about every 30 minutes. It's not super common. It's not, and they won't go up and down. They won't keep breathing. It's like a moment in time that they do it. And if they don't see it, then it's really not that big of a deal. They're still getting everything they need. And I asked them if it was okay that they couldn't see it. And they're like, well, it's not a good thing, but it's not a bad thing, but it's not a good thing.
But like, how
And
is it not good, but how is it not bad?
yeah. And immediately I was like, what do you mean it's not good? What do you like? Is she not developing right? Because you hear a lot of scary things about twins. I feel like there's a lot of misinformation about the big, scary things, when in reality, the chances of that are so small. And so my daughter, because they couldn't see her breathing in that one area, I had to get NSTs once a week, starting at 32 weeks. And then at 35 weeks, it was twice a week. And that's a lot. With NSTs, the babies move around so much that it can take a really long time to be able to get them properly on there, to be able to get their information. And there were times I sat there for over an hour because she would just keep jumping off of it. She wouldn't stay on it. She didn't like it. She would move away. And I felt like it created so much fear because I was always afraid that something was wrong with her because I couldn't see everything perfectly because she wasn't staying on the monitor, because she was being a normal baby in the womb, moving around. And I could feel her all the time, but I felt so afraid because they told me that I needed to go to the NSTs. I needed to get more ultrasounds. I had to do this to make sure that my babies were healthy. When looking back now, it was too much. It was too much information. It was too much fear. I felt like I was constantly in a state of panic over my babies, being afraid that something was wrong with them because of so many appointments and being told I had to constantly make sure they were okay, versus just feeling her and knowing that she was moving around and that she was totally fine. And they kicked me all the time. But because of these extra appointments, I was just so afraid. So we did the NSTs, and at my final ultrasound that we did, I think we did it at 35 weeks. And something with twins is So my son was on the right side and my daughter was on the left side. My son was head up and my daughter was head down. And something that's really important that I didn't know until this appointment is that even if one is presenting head down, the baby that's going to be born first is whichever membrane is close is covering the cervix. So whichever membrane is going to burst first is, or like it's your water breaking.
Your
So
water breaking, yeah.
that's the baby that's going to come out first. So at this appointment, my doctor, this wasn't my regular doctor, it was a different doctor for the ultrasound, but she was telling me that even though my daughter was head down and her head was closest to my cervix, because my son was presenting breech, that I was going to need a C-section. And I told her that I wanted to double check because that didn't feel right to me. And the ultrasound tech had told me that everything looked good for vaginal delivery. So I wanted, and she tried telling me, I know it's hard to hear, but this is just kind of how it is. And I was like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. And she again told me a story. She's like, a mom came in here really recently thinking that she was going to get a vaginal delivery, but the same exact thing happened and she found out she was having a C-section. And because her amniotic sac was for the breech one. And I was like, I hear you, I understand. I would like to double check. I'm not comfortable with that. And so we did, and I was right. The membrane for my daughter was the one that was covering my cervix. So she was head down, she was good to go. And even though my son was presenting breech, I'd already gone through my personal providers and they said that they were comfortable with that. And it kind of really got me because as I left, this doctor was like, okay, well, you can go and probably get induced in the next week or two then. And with twins, a lot of the time they want you to deliver no later than 38 weeks. They actually say that a lot of twins are full term at 36 weeks, which is interesting because there aren't a lot of statistics on twins. But if you look it
Yeah.
up, a lot of them say that's when they're full term. I was not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And it can also depend on the type of twin you have. So I had the safest version of twins, own placentas, own sacs. But I know that there are bigger risks if they share a placenta, if they share a sac, there's other things that can happen. I was pretty set on I'm going to let my body do it. I'm going to let my body figure it out. I'm not interested in getting induced at all. I knew that being induced was kind of the first start of the cascade of interventions. And I was really concerned about that. I was doing anything and everything I could to avoid a C-section.
Spring is here and summer is coming. As a doula, I often see mamas start feeling that heat and getting dehydrated easily. Needed has made it so easy to stay hydrated and get the electrolytes and trace minerals we need as we lose them even more during pregnancy and nursing. They have the hydration support in multiple flavors, lime, grapefruit, and lemon. They also have a variety pack in case you are wanting to switch it up. They're naturally sweetened and flavored with real fruit, no sugar or junk like other electrolytes. You can easily mix these packets into your water bottle and feel refreshed and hydrated during your day. Check out more about hydration support and all the other amazing things and supplements that Needed has to offer at thisisneeded.com. Get 20% off with code VBAC at checkout. Again, that is VBAC at thisisneeded.com to get 20% off your first order. Let's take a moment to talk about Coterie wipes because they're just as amazing as their diapers. These wipes are made from 100% plant-based fibers and are up to 30% larger than most other brands, making them perfect for even the messiest of situations. They're also hypoallergenic and dermatologist tested, so they're safe for newborns and even eczema-prone skin. One of our team members shared that these wipes have been a game changer, gentle enough for delicate skin, but durable enough to get the job done with fewer wipes. They've even earned the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance. You guys, you can pair these with Coterie diapers for a high-performance diaper duo. And do not forget, you can get 20% off with code VBAC20 of your first order of $40 or more. Add a pack of these incredible wipes to your order to see the difference.
Oh, actually, when I talked to the maternal fetal medicine about breech, that is actually when I asked her specifically, what is the problem with breech babies? Why can you show me the information directly that says that breech is more dangerous? And she kind of tried to talk me out of it for a minute and said, well, if you look it up anywhere, it says this and this and this, and you can look it up.
Get up
And
anywhere.
yeah.
Well,
And I was
tell
like,
me where, tell me where.
like specifically. And she's like, well, give me a couple minutes. And because they have a login for kind of all the studies that they can go into. And she comes back and she was like, well, I couldn't specifically find what you asked for. And she'd been gone for like 20 minutes. She's like, I couldn't find the studies for it, but they're there. And she printed off this one that had nothing to do with breech babies, that was basically saying twins should be delivered earlier rather than later. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'm gonna go talk to my doctor. So I went and talked to my doctor. And at this point, I was about 36 weeks. My son had flipped head down, but two. So both babies were head down and everything was looking good with them. The NSTs were great. And I talked to my doctor. And she's like, I want to know how you're feeling about the idea of induction or, where your body is at right now. And yeah, I was at 37 weeks and I was like, I would like to go up until 40 weeks. 40 weeks is where I'm comfortable with twins. And she's like, okay. And she just said, okay. But, I at this point, I really trusted her judgment and her opinion. She had
Yeah.
been so supportive the whole time. And so I was like, what are your thoughts on that? And she's like, I'm not really comfortable with that, but it's your body, it's your babies, it's really up to you. And I was like, okay, well, can you tell me why you're not comfortable with it? And she said that with twins, after 38 weeks, the chance of a baby being stillborn jumps by 3%, which doesn't happen with singletons, it's specifically with twins. And 3% just puts it at 1% at that point, which is still incredibly low. But I was like, okay, well, that's something that I need to think about and consider because they don't have any statistics for after 38 weeks because so few mothers go later than 38 weeks with twins. They don't have any information on it. And so I had to go home and talk to my husband because for the record, though, this was another thing that I asked for a study on, and they couldn't actually find me the study. So I don't know where the studies are, but she at least like found me. She found me some type of study that I was like, okay, I can see how you could get that out of it. But I went home and I talked to my husband, and I was like, I'm so afraid of a C-section. It's like one of my biggest fears is that I'm going to end up in another C-section. And I know a lot of it is outside my control, but I'm really afraid that if I get induced, then I'm going to end up in a C-section because it's just going to go down the line and I won't really have a lot of control over it. And he's like, okay, then go until 40 weeks. And I was like, but on the other hand, there is no information after that 38-week mark. And I'm worried that my own fears are getting in the way of possibly the safety of my babies. And I already had so much fear built up about the safety of my twins because of all of these appointments that I'd already had. So I talked to my doctor and I agreed to be induced at the very latest point, which was 38 weeks and 6 days. And she was like, okay, we'll put you in the books for getting induced that morning. I was like, no, make it nighttime. I want it as late as possible for my body to do whatever it's going to do on its own. So I had a lot of anxiety leading up to my induction date. Thankfully, about 3 days before, I started losing parts of my mucus plug. I'd also had a membrane sweep and I was 1 centimeter dilated, but I was losing chunks of my mucus plug, but not all of it. So I at least felt like my body was starting to do the work. And so the night of my induction, I went in, I think it was about 7:30, and I asked a million questions. I asked about the pros and cons of using Pitocin first. I asked about the pros and cons of doing a Foley bulb first. I asked about, I think that there's a pill called Cervidil or something that will soften your cervix. And yeah, and to try and boost that. But I guess if you've had a C-section, they won't let you use that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, if you've had a C-section, that's a no-go.
Yep. And so I had looked up everything before I went in of the different types of induction, and
Yeah.
the one that I felt most comfortable with was to start with the Foley bulb and go from there. So, and the provider was absolutely amazing. She's like, I love that you're asking all the questions. And something
Yes.
that I really learned through the process versus my first one where I really took their word for everything is that this time I was going to ask why as many times as a toddler does. I was learning. I wanted the information. I needed to know why
Yeah.
to everything. And so we started with the Foley bulb. They put it in and I started to get contractions here and there. They were really sporadic. And I just want to say my nurses were also really amazing. They would come and check on me. They'd bring me whatever I needed. The doctor would check on me. I mean, it was just fantastic. And I had the Foley bulb in for 12 hours. When we started the Foley bulb, I was also at 3 centimeters dilated. So my body had started, which was great. But after the 12 hours, I was still at 3 centimeters and everything. My body had had contractions on and off, but nothing really to show for it. So we decided to go ahead and take a break, and they let me walk around the hospital and they gave me time to just kind of recollect myself and get into a good mindset because Foley bulb was a start, but I was so afraid of Pitocin. I did
Yeah.
not want Pitocin. I didn't want anything to do with it. You know, listening to so many VBAC stories, it really felt almost like a C-section sentence. Like this is
Sometimes it
what's
can
broken.
feel that way. Yeah. But it
And that's
really doesn't have to be that way.
no, absolutely not. And so I was so afraid, and I talked to them a lot. I was like, what is your plan for how fast we're going to do it? What's your plan for how long my body has to process it? You know, like what is your plan for my body and my babies with Pitocin? I don't feel good about it. I'm really worried about it. And they talked me through everything. And so even though I was super afraid, we started Pitocin at 1, and I told them I didn't want it upped unless at least an hour had gone by. And so we upped it by 1 each hour, and it was really great. They made sure to ask me every single time before they upped it again, like, how are you feeling about it? We're planning on doing it one more. So there was a lot of really great communication. And so we kept upping it, and about at 7, so about 7, 8 hours into it at this point, my body started doing contractions 2 minutes apart, a minute each, which is the pattern that I've had with each of my kids when I spontaneously went into labor. 2 minutes apart, a minute each. So, and they were tracking it too. And they were like, it looks like your body's trying to take over. So we're going to keep you at the 7. We're not going to raise it. We're not going to touch anything else. You and babies look great. We're just going to leave you alone. And so we did. I was at 5 centimeters dilated at this point. Everything was looking really good, progressing on its own. At this point, I was exactly 39 weeks pregnant. So I'm at the next day into my induction. And my body just completely took over, which was really great. I was walking around, I was moving a lot. And about the time I started mooing like a cow is the time that I agreed to get an epidural because with twins, something that my provider had let me know is that with the second baby, if they do flip, if anything is presenting in not the most ideal way, is that they will reach in and try and adjust the baby before doing the C-section, which is great, but that's really scary too. So at this point, we went ahead and got the epidural. I was 6 centimeters dilated and I could really feel the contractions coming. I got into bed and I noticed that I was just feeling a lot of pain and pressure on my right side and not my left, but my left side was too numb. So my nurse came in and she was helping me adjust. And at this point, I'd had the epidural for about 2 hours and I was like, I'm not comfortable. My right side is in a lot of pain. I don't know what's going on. And so she's trying to adjust me one way. I was like, no, that's worse. We need to go a different way. And so we're flipping me back and forth. And at this point, I'm getting some more feeling on my left side, but my right side is in a lot of pain. And they're switching me on to laying on my right side and putting a pillow between my legs when there's a huge gush of water. And I stopped and I looked at her and I was like, I think my water just broke. And my nurse, who again was absolutely amazing, goes, I'm pretty sure I heard a pop. Can I check you? Can I make sure? And so, and it had, my water broke and everything was clear. Everything looked great. But at this point, we knew that things were going to move really, really quickly. I was at 10 centimeters dilated. And something that a lot of people don't know about twins, unless they know somebody that has twins, is that they have to be born in the OR.
Yeah.
And that is because the second baby, on the very slim chance that there's any issues and they need to do an emergency C-section, they want to already be in there. And I was actually really worried about that. Before I had that epidural, I asked my nurse, I was like, when people get wheeled into the OR, does it ever stall the labor? You know, because it's a new environment, there's so many people around. And she said that she's never seen that happen. And now I understand why, because you're so caught up in your own body and what's happening that you barely have time to process what's going on. So my water broke, and I could feel my daughter move into the position. So I get on all fours. That's where I'm most comfortable giving birth. And they are wheeling me into the OR. And there's a whole team of people all around us. And we get into the OR, and they're trying to have me move onto the surgical table. The surgical table is probably about half the size of a normal bed.
Yep.
It doesn't move up or down, it just stays flat. And it's uncomfortable to be on.
It's,
I
yeah.
moved. I moved on to it, and they tried to have me get on my back, and I refused. I wasn't going to do that. And again, it's because this table is so small that my knees were like on the
Falling off
outside
of
of this table. Yep,
them.
I
Yeah.
was like, they were worried I was going to fall off the
I
table
was
because
gonna
it's
say it's
so
small and
small.
hard.
Yes, super uncomfortable, bright lights everywhere. There's like 20 people in the room, especially because it's twins. They have extra people on staff just in case anything's wrong. I was on all fours, and the doctor came in just in time to deliver my daughter. And I did not push with her at all. I did not know she was coming. And also my epidural, I think, failed a little bit, which I didn't mind. But the nurse specifically asked the anesthesiologist who was there if my epidural was failing because of all the sounds I was making and how I was moving, and which was interesting because that didn't happen with my first VBAC, but I liked it. I liked that I got to experience it. And so my daughter was born. She was 6 pounds, 8 ounces, 39 weeks exactly. And then she was perfectly healthy, beautiful. And so we switched on to my side so that they could examine me and just make sure that everything was looking okay. For my son, I think they kind of just went into doctor mode, which kind of sucks because they broke my water without telling me that they were going to for him. And I think it's because doctors themselves have a lot of fear around twins and making sure that they're healthy and delivered properly and safe. And but I think they can also make it so that they just go into what's automatic versus like, hey, are you okay if we break his water? Because that's something I'm super against. I didn't want it.
Yeah.
I wanted my body to do all of it. But, you know, they let me do it with my first one. And I really think that it was just a matter of them trying to be really aware of the second. Because after my daughter was born, they also brought out an ultrasound machine to try and figure out where my son was. And even though I could feel him and I knew he was good, I knew he was okay and he was dropping into the right position and that he was doing everything great. They were worried because they couldn't find him on the monitor. And so, from the doctor's perspective, I can see how that would feel scary. But once you have the first twin, there's so much extra room in your stomach, and there's so much extra skin, and there's liquid, and there's your organs, and there's just, it's like jelly, right? It's a pool of jelly where they're trying to get this heartbeat that is in
Yeah.
there, but it's super hard. And I knew he was okay. But my doctor didn't. And I wish that she had taken the time to communicate more with me at this point. This was a different doctor than the midwife I'd been seeing. This was the on-call doctor who was also really great. She really is a great doctor. Like I said, I think she just went into autopilot a little bit. And when she couldn't find my son, she told me that if I didn't push him out, she was going to reach in and grab him, which I didn't love. And later I did talk to my own provider about, and she's like, that shouldn't have been said. I'll talk to her about it. But like I said, doing it from the doctor's perspective of like, I can't find him. I know she wants a vaginal birth, trying to kind of give the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah, you're being very nice. Yes.
Yes,
I understand that though.
yes. And I met with her beforehand, so, and it makes me feel better looking back on it to view it like that versus just let's get it going. But yeah, so I was on my side. She broke my water and she actually let my husband help deliver my son, which was
Oh,
really, really cool.
awesome.
Yes, we
Yeah.
asked about it ahead of time and they got him in all the gear. They sanitized him, they put the gloves on him. And so she like helped lead my son out, but he got to like catch him, which was really exciting and really
Yeah.
cool because we've wanted that for all of our kids and it just never got to happen.
Yeah.
My son was born at 7 pounds, 4 ounces.
Okay. So almost a whole pound.
Yes, very, very healthy babies. They were born at 39 weeks exactly. And some of the nurses were saying that they had never seen twins so late into gestation be born, because usually they're born between 36 and the start of 38 weeks.
Yep.
And the recovery was a little bit harder than a singleton, but I carried two babies, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Something that I thought was really interesting for recovery is that I had multiple nurses tell me that how lucky I was to be able to take both my babies home, because usually one of them has to stay. And I feel like that really bothered me because there were so many times already in this pregnancy I'd been talked to about having my babies early.
Yeah.
And they try and say that with twins, they do so, they're perfectly healthy, they're totally fine so much sooner. And they're not, they're still babies. They're still
There's a
just
reason
like
why they're
any.
staying in the NICU.
Yeah, they usually are, though. At least one of them is usually in the NICU. Babies for twins are usually born more premature also. And then with doctors on top of it telling women to give birth sooner, is really frustrating because they don't have any statistics, they don't have information. It's the fear in the doctors, and then it's fear in the patients without any actual information behind it. So, and I was super fortunate that I'd already had two kids and I felt really strongly about going as long as possible, and that I had an amazing provider who is very, very, very VBAC friendly, but I know about three other twin moms and they all had C-sections because of how their babies were presenting or because they were afraid of the second one having to be delivered via C-section, and just all the misinformation for everything just felt really frustrating trying to find actual, clear, simple, black and white information, and it just felt impossible.
You
Yeah,
should
that's my son.
feel very proud of
Yeah.
yourself though for following your intuition and knowing that your babies needed to stay in longer and that they were okay to stay in longer. And you didn't go to the 40-week mark, but you went to 39, which is fantastic and huge, and your babies were perfect sized and healthy and able to be with you. So, yeah, I think it always comes down to that intuition for me. Like, what does my mama heart say? My mama heart says this, even though everybody else is saying this. It
Yep.
feels uncomfortable to go against the medical system and their words and their studies or their lack of studies in your situation. But they had a couple articles that you're like, okay, I could see this. And we'll include that in the show notes today so people can see what you were talking about, where they say, like, most babies are delivered by that 38-week mark, but most are delivered by the 36 mark. But why are they delivered by the 36 mark? Because we're taking them. Because
Yep.
we know that bodies usually don't go into spontaneous labor at 36 weeks.
No. And even with twins, it's super rare for your body to spontaneously deliver them. When I tried to look up the average week of Spontaneous labor
Spontaneous.
for twins, it's not. They don't have a week because it's twins are usually delivered by this day via induction or C-section. And you can join blogs, you can join Facebook groups, you can join so many different ones and ask, when did you naturally go into labor spontaneously? And almost everyone is, I was induced on this day, I had a C-section on this day, and there's a very, very small handful that spontaneously went into labor, which is why they don't have the information for it.
Crazy. Yeah, I noticed like a quick view. It says like spontaneous labor can happen between 32 and 38 weeks, usually around 36 weeks. It says the uterus doesn't know if there's one full-term baby or two smaller babies inside. But then you go through and you're like, yeah, but everyone's being induced.
Yep.
You know what I
And
mean? So it's just like,
also, your body knows what it's doing. Your body knows if it's providing for two babies. Your body, I mean, my son, my firstborn, was 10 pounds, 1 ounce. My body knew it was having one. My twins, which, yes, were smaller, but I held on to them just as long. You know, my body knew what it was doing, and they were so healthy.
Are there any groups for twins that you suggest people jump into?
Personally, just any type of Facebook group that you can look up. There's a lot of actual parents of multiples in different communities. So like for me, it was Kitsap County parent of multiples. But if you do your county and add that, then there's actual whole groups in your area that have had twins, triplets, just whatever it might be. And they're a great resource to find good providers, to get good information about what you might need. For great resources in your community, also.
Awesome. Oh, well, thank you for joining us again and sharing your stories. And remember, everybody, 205, episode 205, to go back and listen to her first VBAC story. Congratulations on your beautiful babies.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me again. And it's been great getting to share. I love my babies and my birth stories, and I love getting to share them.
I'm so glad that you did.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.